Go with me to the 28th chapter, if you will, of the book of Ezekiel. We're going to come along now, and we're going to study how Lucifer, the most prominent of all the cherubs, would fall from that position of prominence and become the ruler of this world. And that is going to be the beginning of our study. We're going to look at where angels have come from when they were created, what part they play in end-time prophecy, and what the next greatest significance will be with an angel that will be used to cause the world to fall under the dominion of Satan himself. Now, up here you see the stands for placing the shirts that you can get over at the bookstore, but they also represent the three main events in the future. And in case you've not been here, let me just rehearse this quickly again for you. We say the wall over there 6,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ created the heavens, the earth, and all that in them is. We come along for 4,000 years. Jesus Christ comes, dies, buried, resurrects, comes back to life. He comes along for 2,000 years. We're quickly approaching what this microphone stand represents, the next event on God's calendar of activities, the rapture of the church. Then there will be a 7-year period of time, the tribulation, terrible time of judgment, followed by the return of Christ, the revelation of Christ, when he comes back to the Mount of Olives, placing his feet on the Mount of Olives, and at that point in time, there will be the conclusion of the campaign of Armageddon, which actually starts in Jerusalem, culminates in the Jezreel Valley, and then he will restructure, and we'll look at this a bit on our last session together, the city of Jerusalem, and he'll set up his kingdom, which he'll rule and reign from. This is Messiah's kingdom, and this will be a temple that is operating out of the city of Jerusalem called Messiah's temple that is described in the book of Ezekiel. At the conclusion of that 1,000 years, this microphone stand represents the retribution in our walk through eschatology. And this is the time of the great white throne judgment. Jesus Christ will be the judge, sentencing those who have rejected him in the lake of fire, which is the second death. And then eternity future, new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem. A key player in all of these activities up until the point at the end of the millennial kingdom, a key player is the most prominent creature ever created by God himself. And we see the account of this here in the 28th chapter. So let's look at the 28th chapter of the book of Ezekiel and this, glean some information from it. And we'll go to other locations to put it all together as we spend our time this morning. By the way, if you remember my outline that I gave you yesterday, I told you that the book of Ezekiel was basically divided into two parts. The first 32 chapters would be a message of retribution. And Ezekiel would have the message going forth through different means that God would use him, laying in the street, baking his bread over cow manure, cutting his hair off of his head, being mournful and pronouncing Sheva at the time of the death of his wife, of his youth, and just going ahead and serving the Lord. And then I said that within that framework of those 32 chapters, the first 24 chapters are dealing with judgment against Israel, the Jewish people, and then chapters 25 to 32, judgment against the neighbors of the Jewish people. It's interesting to study those judgments, and we'll not have time to really dig into that, but you can go back. And when I tell you tomorrow morning who the peoples are, you'll be able to understand and have a worldview. You know, every one of us have a worldview. Every person in this room has a worldview. A worldview is how you look at current events unfolding and why they may be happening. Most of us are fed, or at least indoctrinated, for our worldview by the media of this world. We listen to what they say, we assimilate their false teaching, basically, and then we apply that to understanding why events are unfolding. A true Christian worldview has to be based upon a person's knowledge of the Word of God, first of all, and secondly, the scenario prophetically laid out in God's Word. I had the privilege and opportunity of speaking at the Pentagon. When I spoke at the Pentagon, I spoke to a group of generals, and I was really overjoyed about that because although I was in the service, I was not an officer. I was in the Air Force for 3 years, 9 months, 27 days, 10 hours, 15 minutes, and 30 seconds. Loved every minute of that. But I was an enlisted man, and here I was now standing in as an enlisted man in front of all these generals. And I was going to speak on prophecy, of course. That's what I basically do when I go someplace. And so as I stood there, I looked at them and I said, gentlemen, today you're going to make decisions that are going to affect tomorrow. Today, you better understand what's going to happen tomorrow. I think that's appropriate for all of us. I don't care what age you are in this room. No matter what your age may be, no matter what your position in life, we're going to make decisions today that affect tomorrow. We better know today what's going to happen tomorrow. And the way we can understand what's going to happen tomorrow is developing a proper worldview based upon God's word and the prophetic scenario laid out in it. And so that we might grasp what is happening in these nations, especially in the Middle East. For example, why is there an attempt to overthrow the Lebanese government, which is basically anti-Syrian? And why had the world put so much pressure on Syria to withdraw from Lebanon? And, you know, I that's one example. I can continue to talk about events that are happening, and there is a reason for those events happening as it relates to God's prophetic scenario for the end times. And so, and thus, it behooves us to study these things and have a handle on why things are happening, but it also, at the same time, enhances our urgency for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that plays key into how we then live out our Christian experience. Here in the 28th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, I remind you again in my little simple outline, and I told you it was key to have an outline to get the overall big picture of a book that you and may be studying. Well, this is the 28th chapter. So thus, automatically, as I look at my outline, would indicate we're looking at a judgment pronounced against one of the enemies of Israel, one of their neighbors. Now, as we start to read chapter 28, we see that he's talking about the king or the prince of Tyre. By the way, we'll talk about the prince in just a few moments and what this prince really is or who this prince really is, but it is looking at Tyre. And let me just give you, I'll take a shortcut and give you who Tyre is. Tyre in scriptural biblical times would be modern day Lebanon. And modern-day Lebanon is very active as it relates to Israel. It was out of southern Lebanon that Hezbollah, the Iranian National Guard, the Revolutionary Guard, came out of Iran in 1982. Ayatollah Khomeini placed them in southern Lebanon. They've been there. They were the ones responsible for blowing up the Marine barracks, killing over 280 Marine soldiers, U.S. soldiers. Now, they are the ones that entered into Israel, started a cross-border war that lasted for 34 days, ending in the result that Israel basically, according to the perception of the Islamic Arab world, were defeated last summer. The invincible Israeli Defense Force brought to their knees last summer, and I happen to agree with that perception of the Arab world. And perception is key in the Middle East. It's not whether Israel has a nuclear weapon or not. It's whether the Arab Islamic world believes they have a nuclear weapon. They don't have to have one. I happen to think, and nobody knows, so if somebody ever tells you that they know for sure Israel has a nuclear weapon, you just walk away from that individual. He's a liar, or she's a liar. They do not know. They cannot know, not one single person, unless they happen to be the Prime Minister of Israel or somebody along that line. And if they were telling that there was a nuclear weapon and telling that, the Mossad would take them out in a heartbeat, just like that. I mean, assassinate him is what I'm talking about. So don't let any prophecy teacher tell you he knows for sure Israel has nuclear weapons. Now, I think they do. And don't quote me as saying they do. I think they do. But the perception is, according to the Islamic world, they have one. And that is what is important, perception. the Israeli government doesn't do PR to America, to the European Union, or to any place in the world. I have known some of the key players in the Israeli government. One of them was Morty Dolinsky. He was the director of the government press office. He gave credentials to all journalists coming into the land. He was the spokesperson to talk to the world. And he told me time and time again, an Orthodox Jew, who God allowed me to develop a great relationship with, an Orthodox Jew, Morty, told me, I don't care what America thinks about Israel. What I care about is what these Islamic Arab countries think about Israel. And I want them to perceive that if they touch us, we're going to cut their heads off. And Lebanon, which is right here at the beginning of chapter 28, Tyre played a key role in that, and this is a prophecy against them. I'm not going to go into that. I just introduced that to you. But I also wanted to let you know I have studied the scriptures, and when we come to verse 13 here in the 28th chapter, it changes from talking about a judgment against Tyre, against modern-day Lebanon, and it is talking about Lucifer, who was that prominent cherub who God created early on.